girls while the girls watch the boys who watch the girls go by.
From Hollywood, California, Meltdown Comics, the Nerd Melt Theater. The 100 Harmontown episode. Which is the one street and town. Our centipedial centepisode. Harmontown is now in session. Let's welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, forever young and forever fit and forever charming, Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Centepisodial. 100 episodes. Tonight will be, I promise, at least 1% as entertaining as the sum of all of our podcast's parts. Nothing really special planned, except for, sorry. Good night.
What he meant to say is, boy, do we have a show for you people tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I'll make it special in any way that you want me to make it special, but it's not like the
take
show is...
take your shirt off.
The show is not famous for its preparation. I was afraid, in doing things, special things, that we would just be... I think that would run kind of... What's the word? Anathema?
Yeah.
It wouldn't really be a Harmontown episode. We've got to make this 100 times the Harmontown episode, which means we have to plan 100 times less than we ever do.
How could you plan 100 times less than zero?
It's just, that's it. It's just a regular episode, see? The math checks out. Hey, Jeff, what do you make of these? What do you make of these people... I've been watching some more true crime shows, right, with Aaron. I used to watch the Forensic Files and the FBI Files and Forensics, Extreme Forensics, Solved: Forensics Gone Wrong, Wild Crime, Snapped: Women of Forensics.
Like the Dateline kind of things, those murder.
Yeah, that gets a little like polished for me, but we started watching this show, which I think we're done with now. I think there's only 6 episodes of it. It's called Murder Comes to Town, and it's just like every other show. It's just all the same murders and stuff, but the focus is on the town. So it's just like any other kind of like crime show where there's just interviews with these police that couldn't figure out who killed somebody until someone called and told them that they did it. Which is, if you really watch these shows, that's what always happens. Like there's always 3/4 of the way into the episode.
They got a break.
Yeah, there's always
ring,
a phrase.
Ring, ring.
Then police got the break they were looking for, and it's always like a phone call from either a nearby police enforcement agency saying like, "We found a finger, or it's just a guy going like, "My cousin did it." But anyways, not to digress. Tonight,
no
tangents. No 100 times less tangents than normal Harmontown. I was just waiting because we were watching, because there's always the reenactments in these things. So they show people, there's people talking to the camera, and then sometimes there's people that they hired to play those people. But then sometimes, as in Murder Comes to Town, and I think it's on a case-by-case basis, I'm assuming it's based on the participants' willingness. Sometimes the person that's being interviewed is then in the reenactments.
What?
Yeah.
No.
So they'll show a woman going like, well, my daughter was missing. She was gone. And then they'll show that woman waking up in a bed.
What?
And there's like a giant Johnny Mnemonic poster on the wall to make it period or whatever. Because it's 10 years later. But this poor woman is like answering a phone going, hello? No. Okay, I'll be right there. And like hanging up the phone. It's like there's a director telling her, okay, your daughter's missing. Like it's a cop on the other end of the phone. Sweetie, work with me.
I'm sorry. What, the director, what's my motivation?
Yeah. And then including like we were really like tripping out on this one. It was like this good-natured, seeming like loving mother whose daughter had been abducted and eventually murdered, because the show's called Murder Comes to Town. Don't hit me with your spoiler shit. The show's called Murder Comes to Town. It's the daughter's missing and she got murdered. But the, and the woman is like so they show her reenacting the moment where she found out her daughter's missing.
That is the worst.
Then they also show her like the day that she last saw her daughter alive. So they show her like walking down a hall, opening a bathroom door and going, "Sweetie, I'm going to work." "Okay, Mom. Bye." the director then called her and goes, "Hey, Monica, could you stop crying in the middle of this? At the time this scene takes place, your daughter's still alive. I don't know why you keep bursting into tears. Where were those in the last scene?" To be a fly on the wall of that production. These people are just random people, and sometimes it's like cops, like the cops. You know they're into it when the cop is like putting the guy in the hood, and he's like, "Don't move, pal. Don't even breathe." And he's all, you know, he's playing himself and trying to act like he was like, you know, Die Hard. Is that the character's name?
You're thinking of Jaws.
Yeah. Do you get a question, Jeff?
Yes. Dan? What does it all mean?
There was a quote in the show that there was a murder that took place in Kansas or something. And then the narrator said, the narration is like incredibly poorly written. Like they'll do things like they'll go, there was this one I had to rewind. It was like, did they just use suspicion as the dramatic button on the end of two sentences in a row? So it was but then there's only a matter of time before hope gives way to suspicion. And the hopes and dreams that were pinned on the former family members give rise to suspicion. Like he acted like he never said suspicion before. Like they're just fucking. They're like, we don't have time. Just say shit about murder.
I know it's been done a million times. Who's that white haired guy? Keith? No. What's the fuck with the creepy,
the ghoulish guy that they've done on SNL? Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. What's his name? Bill Hader does. Like that guy. It's the worst writing in the world because it's all questions. But why did she go there? And if she went in there, why did she do it? Like, that's not
well.
Right.
I always wonder too about the people that participate in these shows. So they're doing these interviews and they're talking about their beloved person being killed and what it was like to find their brains in the thing. And then they're doing these interviews and they're crying during them. And then sometimes the show is called like Peekaboo, I killed you. You know, like it's like not quite on the side of the victim exactly. It's more on the side of murder. Murder, kind of like that's where the murder comes to town. The narration is like the guy is like decidedly he's like, but what happened? She went jogging. That's the last time anyone saw her. But no amount of jogging would keep her alive during her rape and murder. It was like what are you making fun of her for dying? Like, oh, she was jogging, get it? Like what if you were the mom and you saw that? You'd be like, I cried in that interview. They told me to look at the camera and cry.
You say that you watched all these episodes, meaning had there been more, you would not.
There were six of them. Yeah, I think they canceled it, but I'll do more. Because the other ones are all, I feel like I've seen the same murders and stuff. And it reduces the viewer to this weird thing. Like Aaron and I were like, you know, going through the menu and we're like, two elderly people missing in a truck. That's a hitchhiker. Well, this is one girl, but you know an ex-boyfriend just murdered her. Like you kind of like, you know, you're reduced to fictionalizing human beings. But anyways, one more thing about this. The horrible narration, I wrote this down. The guy said he was talking about the town. It's always about the town. That's the gimmick of this show. The town couldn't believe it. This town, and a size of this town. This kind of murder, you don't forget it. Like in New York, everyone's like, hey, Glenn's missing. Fuck it. I think that's why they break New York into smaller subsections, right? So that it's an appeal to the people outside New York for a little bit of humanity. Look, we're not just a giant city full of people. If my neighbor gets killed, I care, because I'm from Brooklyn. Section 3. Anyways,
did they ever find Glenn?
The guy was saying, but it. You know, Boner hurt Kansas.
Boner hurt. Okay, we'll get back to
it. Was close to that.
Your naming. Boner hurt.
They'll show a shot of the water tower and then a cornfield. And say, Boner hurt Kansas is a quiet town full of church-going folk. And this is what the guy said. He said, "You could call it the core of the American heartland." You could call the word heartland synonymous with core. Yeah. You could call a heart a core. You could call a core a heart. You could clean up this sentence, motherfucker.
You could call this town in Kansas the core of the Big Apple. But very far away from that apple.
You could call it the center of the epicenter. A kind of confluence of nexuses. Boner hurt Kansas lies at the intersection of crossroads. Is it 5 o'clock yet? All right. So, we have special shit to do, and I know it's gonna eat away at us. It's gonna eat away at our time. It's not gonna eat away at us.
But before we go, real quickly, I've been reading these books that are like by Philip Kerr. They're all these detective novels set in World War II Germany. It's a detective, like kind of a la Raymond Chandler, and he is a cop during World War II. It's great shit. It's like awesome schlock. But also, like I love World War II documentaries, and I love Nazi documentaries. And I feel like I know this is not a charming admission, but is it wrong to wish that World War II had gone on longer so there'd be more documentaries about it?
I mean, this is what TV does to us.
Yeah, because it just some channels should just be called just like We Love Hitler documentaries.
I Instagrammed it. There was a I swear to God I did.
how can we prove this, Dan?
I was looking for a new app to play on my fucking fat slob pad that I sit in bed and eat donuts on while I watch murder shows. And I came across a review of this Sims game where this woman was like, it was just like an 8-paragraph essay about how they had updated the free Sims game that she had raised her grandchildren on. Because she's like, my grandchildren would come over, and when they were 3, they used to like to just watch the people walk around. And as they grew older, they learned about how to interact. So she's like, believe me, her opinion matters the most about this free game that she's been fucking, because she uses it to raise children. And then they released an update that makes the Sims die of old age. They used to be immortal, Jeff, and now they die of old age. And I was talking to them about it, and someone was putting photos of the Grim Reaper on their Facebook pages, and they saw them and they started to cry. Now my grandchildren are crying. I don't understand why these Sims have to die. I thought they could live forever. And she's like having a fucking nervous breakdown in a review under the app. And was this review helpful? Yes. It has summed up our universe entirely. I don't know if it's helpful to anyone but maybe Nietzsche or Kafka, but it's like, I mean, she was like, she had become more Sim than human because the Sims were now capable of dying, and she was just this weird program complaining. Oh, boy. Anyways, but yeah, I'm just a hop from that with these murder shows now. I'm like, teenage hitchhiker.
The Sims couldn't die. I played the Sims for like 3 days. And the woman that was my avatar, my gal or whatever, she just kept getting bummed out, and there was flies in the kitchen, and I hated it because I thought I'd kill her, so I just stopped doing it.
Yeah,
you couldn't kill her. She would just sit there and be miserable for the rest of time.
Yeah, I can't answer anyone's questions about the Sims. But
how do they die now? Like old age? Like, do you have to wait 80 years, or do you have to like?
I don't. I've never played a Sims game. I'm neither proud nor ashamed to say. I love I play like gardening Mama 2 and the I'm not above reproach. Aaron bought me in New York. We went to the Nintendo store. She said, "You'll like this game," and gave me Gardening Mama 2. And I was like, "Fuck you! I get your joke." And then I kind of liked it. She always leans over and looks at my screen at the wrong times. Like I'm always like in the middle of like changing a diaper or helping a stork grow or
what?
You know, I like time management games and like gardening. I like gardening and not in real life. I don't know what that is. All right. Speaking of bad writing, just we were driving here and Aaron played Rocket Man. I just want, so you'll know how to finish these lyrics. Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as hell.
And there's no one there
to raise them.
If you did.
If you did what?
Raise them?
Yeah.
I don't.
You just said it's no place to raise your kids. There's no one there to raise them if you raised them. Well, except you. What is this? Is that just Elton John doesn't know a life outside of the nanny system? It's like, oh man, Mars ain't the kind of place to have your nanny raise your kids for you. No. There's no nannies on Mars.
Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kid. In fact, it's cold as hell.
And there's no one there
to raise them.
If you did.
Dot, dot, dot.
If you raised your kids there.
Or if you did choose that lifestyle.
Raise your kids. Mars ain't the kind of place to settle down and raise your kids.
Yeah.
Still bad writing. Musicians, 6,000 years of getting away with bad writing and counting.
Wait, this,
because they bang on things while they do it.
There's a hand being raised out there.
If you dig? Like, if you dig. Like, if he's saying...
Are you just guessing that?
That's what I always thought it was.
You always thought it was if you dig.
I always thought he was...
Someone look it up. Look up lyrics for us right now.
I was just saying, like, I mean, if you know what I mean, there's no one there to raise them.
If you dig.
I mean,
there's no one there to raise them. If you dig.
He's just checking in.
I'll fucking give you.
It's the Elton John equivalent of, you know what I mean?
I'm going to give you a $10 bill if that's correct. $10 is yours, sir. If it's, thank you. We saved me $10.
This is a sea of iPhones.
If you dig. I wish that was it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I think that's. That's all right. Let's move on
to Crocodile Rock. Now this song, Crocodile Rock.
I get so mad at musicians because they get away with like stuff that, you know, I don't know. They're just kind of like they're so fancy and free with their goddamn lyrics. And it seems like it's part of their success. Like people don't want my overwrought, fucking meticulous bullshit in there when they're tapping their toes. People just write these songs and they're like, they change tenses. They change like from first person to third person. I don't know who he is and who you are. Someone's stealing someone's girl. Who the fuck is, who are we?
I mean, I'm not making this wrong, but I love the movie by The Who, Quadrophenia. And it's a great rainy day, depressing movie. And it's all the soundtrack, of course, is by The Who. And Sting is in it when he was young and not a complete twat. And he was great. He's in a silver suit. He looks great. And but they thought Quadrophenia meant like, what if you had four personalities? They thought schizophrenia meant two personalities. And they're like, okay, yeah, we kind of.
I thought it was just a reference. I never saw that movie, and I just assumed it was like some kind of like product placement for the new speaker system or something. Yeah. Quadrophonics.
Well, I think that was the riff they're trying to do. I don't know, but rock and roll music. Lyrics shouldn't be looked at too closely.
Yeah, writers and musicians. Why can't they get along? You know they do in like Christina Aguilera songs or something. Because like those like people that aren't singer songwriters, they have like a nice 45-year-old man sit down and write a little ditty, hand it off to a young sexy urchin whose voice is good for 2 years, and then they go, I'm a genie in a bottle, rub it, all the metaphors all work. Oh, you rub me the right way, I'm a genie, and make a wish. I wish the genie was happening. This is great. It's like William Goldman wrote this. He did. An old guy in a log cabin wrote that. He had A cups. He's not someone that you want to rub the right way. Well, guess what? Beauty's only skin deep.
Have we talked about...
We need to work together. Ugly people are smarter than you.
Have we talked about in the show a piano man? The regular crowd shuffles in. The man at the bar sitting next to me making love to his tonic and gin. No.
Gross.
No, you don't get to change the name of the drink to suit your purposes.
Oh, I thought you meant it was gross because it sounded like he's coming in his drink.
Whoa! Yes. Making love to his tonic and gin. And there's Gary over there with his dick in a jar. And
you can see the strands floating to the top.
Yes. And he swizzles his drink with his balls and his stink. And
janitor's getting him up. we're getting played off by the ghost of Jebediah Nerdmelt. Get out of here! Your show doesn't have a script. It's terrible.
Greg Barrett did that joke 20 years ago.
You've conditioned these people via systemic deprivation to applaud rhyming mop with... whatever you rhymed it with. Other people have acts.
tonic and gin. Like making love to his jelly and peanut butter. That's fucking, that's so, that's just lazy bullshit.
Yeah.
Also, the gambler, but I like Kenny Rogers a lot. I love Kenny Rogers. I met him when I was like 9 in Acapulco, so I love the guy. In the gambler, he rhymes sleep and keep twice. I think that's lazy bullshit. You don't do the same rhyme twice.
Well, how about he did the same song 4 times? Do do do. There, everybody saw the farmer with the magic peanut. Do 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 do. Like,
wait, how is that the gambler?
Fucking, they're all just like, I don't know the musical terms, but I know the fucking guy just sits down and writes a fucking, you know, writes the charge of the light brigade, the fucking, like, puts it to, like, it's about a guy. It's just like,
can you sing me? I don't know your knowledge of the Battle of Balaclava, but or Alfred Lord Tennyson, would you please do me a country version of the charge of the light brigade right now?
Cannons to the left of them, cannons all around them. But the man with one leg came to town and said that he had found him on a misty river's country night. This character broke even. And that's the story of Kenny Rogers, of a guy named fucking Steven thing. It's always a guy. All right, I'm thinking of two songs, Coward of the County and The Gambler.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Coward of the County is a good
but
one.
You know, he fucking, you know, if we brought up a Kenny Rogers album, you'd see a bunch of failed attempts.
You know, he started off in a psychedelic like hippie band called First Edition. First Edition. And then like, just dropped in to see what condition my condition is. And that's him. And when he left that band, they're like, you're never going to make it, baby. Like, he said, no, I'm going to make country music. Like, you'll never make it. And he went off and wrote some of the biggest hits.
You know, he's a Scientologist.
Is he?
Yeah. A psych got you. You never know. Who would have thought Beck, you know? Who would have thought Will Smith?
Look, if I found out Kenny Rogers was a Scientologist, I would give Scientology a second glance.
Well, I don't want to bring this up again, but you should read that book, Going Clear. You come away from it with a respect for you don't dehumanize people that are just because they're Scientologists anymore after reading that book.
I wouldn't either if I ever met a Scientologist who would sit down and explain what it is that they do, but it's so goddamn private.
Well, then read this book, Going Clear. It's like 700 pages.
I can't talk to a person that's a
I don't know. Maybe you can. Well, yeah, you can. There's independent Scientologists. There's also that guy, Marty Rathbun. We just watched a documentary about him. There's a lot of people that, you know, raised on this religion. How much more ridiculous is anything? You know, we've had Mormons on stage talking to us about Mormonism. I think we had a Jew once. Speaking of which, I'm assuming he's Jewish because of his last name. Adam Goldberg has a special surprise for us. Well, that's pretty anti-Semitic, you guys. He's a human being. Oh, you hate him, the person. Oh, I'm sorry. I connected those dots wrong. No, Adam Goldberg, he went onto Reddit. And he, do you believe that?
I'm going to suspend my disbelief.
He culled together through rigorous research and conversation with Harmontown fans in honor of our 100th, centepisodial spectacular. He has an 18-question trivia quiz.
It gets better.
All right, we were thinking that you and I would go up against a Harmontown superfan from the audience and see
if one of you could get more answers right about our show than Dan and I. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, given the fact that we're always in a blackout drunk.
Oh, they're going
to
win.
I already know the results, yeah.
So should we have them elect one of their own to be that representative?
Yeah, well, I don't know how they'll do that. I mean, that could.
Let's set them against themselves. Who here thinks that they would probably be the best at answering Harmontown trivia?
This guy.
No. One over here. We have a few hands up.
Anatoly.
Anatoly, yeah, but he's so hard to understand.
Yeah.
what does fuck you all mean?
All right.
Huh? Who do we got? We got two hands. What's your name right there?
MC.
MC?
Yeah.
You think you got the goods?
I can try.
MC, bring it up here. I like the look of this guy. We're gonna give MC a chance here.
Ooh, it's good. This.
The boys wants the girls, while the girls wants the boys.
Yeah, we'll try to. We'll try to lightning through this. Where's Goldbug?
Goldberg, are you here? Adam Goldberg, everybody.
Hi, MC.
Hi, sir.
MC, what is your curriculum vitae? What are your credentials that you think that qualifies you to beat Dan and I at our own game here?
Well, I recently binge listened to the whole show.
Okay, you already got us.
All 100 episodes? All 99 episodes?
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get through all 100?
Well, I I started listening when I started a new job, and that job was about like 2 months. And with the exception of like breaking to watch whatever was like new on like Hulu or whatever, it would be like the only source of entertainment. And I caught up.
Oh God, he's got to hate me more than the rest of you combined.
Have you been to the live show before?
Oh yeah, totally, totally.
Oh, yeah, like, I think I've seen you here before.
Basically, once I caught up, that's when I started attending.
Okay, so how many times have you been here live?
I think this would be like my fifth or sixth.
Fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
Can you describe the nature of that job without getting in trouble? Or?
Yeah, I was an animator. A storyboard artist on a show called BoJack Horseman. Mm. It's going to be on Netflix. It's genuinely good, and that was the only thing keeping me from like
Dan, what do you
throwing
think
myself out a window.
What do you think the pitch, the log line is for BoJack Horseman?
BoJack Horseman. The how the West was won on the side. Like, it's got to have some kind of, right, like, misfit cowboys.
It's actually got Alison Brie from Community on it.
Fuck this show. So, like, there's no actors looking for work, right? Give Alison Brie another job. No, what is it? Can you give us the, like, kind of conceit of it?
Like, it's about, like, a out-of-work actor who's, like, trying to, like, cope with his like self-loathing and depression, but like he's a horse.
He's a horse. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
He's like a horse man. Yeah.
He's a horse man.
Yeah.
is he a centaur?
He's like a reverse centaur. He's like horse from the neck top up. Yeah.
Oh,
he's a orcent.
Is it live action or animated?
No, it's animated.
This is live action.
Well, he said he's a storyboard artist. It could be live action.
No,
they would have to plan the horse composites, you know.
Well, also it's cast entirely by people that you don't know for being in cartoons. You know what I mean? Like it's like Amy Sedaris is in it, and friggin' from Breaking Bad, what's his name? Jesse.
Aaron Paul.
Yeah, him.
All right, well, sounds good.
All right, let's kick this off. So, Adam Goldberg, tell us what the rules are, what we're doing here.
Well, there are three answers to every question. One of them, or two of them, is correct. One of them is correct. I want to say that I had a story about The Sims, actually.
Adam, what are the rules to the game that we're about to play?
My brother went up.
What are the rules? You are here for one task, Adam.
He married my
it's our 100th fucking show, Adam. We're not going to do this.
18.
I will shout you down. I will play the game.
Money.
Play the game.
He can't. He's actually.
You're going to make me line producer of your thing. Okay. So I'm going to ask questions.
I thought he was going to wax rhapsodic about Sims for a while.
Yeah. The only story is my brothers married my sister into their family.
It's like,
for money.
You're compulsive.
For money.
You know, I normally don't get to give my two cents because I'm usually just listening to it, but I'm pro Goldberg. I'm cool with hearing the story.
Don't suck up to the judges.
I always go back and forth because the minute someone says I'm pro Goldberg and 150 people boo and he doesn't pull out a rifle or run from the stage, then I become pro Goldberg because I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Dan, did you just say you're pro Goldberg?
And then look at his face.
I mean, anti Goldberg. Thank you. You're consistent.
We've discussed this forever. Harmontown's for misfits, and he's the. I mean,
yeah. He's Claudius.
Are we gonna go start a colony on the moon for misfits? And we're just gonna start as soon as we get off the spaceship. First, we're gonna go. All right, where's the nerd? Get out of here!
I need a spacesuit. Oh, get out of here!
Yeah, there's 99 spacesuits.
All right, Adam, tell us the rules if you would please.
I'm gonna ask the question either of Team Dan Jeff or Team Guy who worked on the Centaur show.
MC.
MC. That's easy to remember. And
apparently not.
I don't like suck ups.
Immediately changes my opinion. Yeah. I'm back with these guys. I don't care. Yeah. No, come on. It's half you were lying anyway. You love him.
You just go where the wind blows, man. Yeah.
And if you just don't know, the other team can steal. Just,
oh, man.
If you're like, but it's multiple choice, so that's unlikely. All right, who wants it first? Team Dan or Team MC?
I'll take it.
All right. MC's going to take
MC.
It.
MC.
So wait, if I get it wrong, like, do I get knocked out and someone else has to, like, are we going to do a round robin style like that? Or?
No.
Okay.
And how does the scoring work? Most out of 18 questions?
Most out of 18, I guess.
All right, let's fire through these. It's only a four-hour show.
Okay. Real Abed proposed a restaurant where everything is really small. What was it called? A, Real Abed's Real Food for Real People? B, Bites? Or C, Mini Mine?
B, Bites.
That is correct. 1 point for MC.
I knew that.
I almost feel like you could have eliminated the multiple choice out of that and had us try to freestyle, but let's see what goes.
If he gets into the lead, he'll have to freestyle. Okay. This is a challenge.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, he's already in lead, so that doesn't apply.
MC has jumped out to commanding 1-0 lead.
All right. Okay.
How about this? Give each person that you ask, give them the option if they can get it without getting the multiple choices.
That's 2 points.
2 points.
All right.
There we go.
All right.
Okay, which is not a fiction? I can't do that for this. This is which is not.
Okay. All right.
Which? How many episodes did Dan wear the eye Harmon? Do you want the multiple choice?
Yes, I want the multiple choice.
Okay. A is 2 to 3, B is 4 to 5, and C is exactly 6.
B, 4 to... No. A.
That is correct. 1 point for Dean Dam.
All right.
I would have gotten wrong.
Right,
I wrote it down. That's why I knew.
What?
Two against one? What?
Because he's listened to them all, and I've never listened to any of them.
Oh, I wasn't using Jeff. You're saying I'm cheating by using Jeff?
No, she's saying that we have two heads are better than one theory. Right. But believe me, he just listened to them all recently, so he has access to this more recent information in his head.
Also, I wasn't thinking that Jeff and I were like both. Thanks. I was going to say sweetie, but it's 2014.
I don't. She appreciated it.
I might see a blog entry tomorrow. Dan Harmon called me sweetie. The story of humanity versus the asshole.
MC, which is not a fictional Harmontown character? A, death row inmate O'Malley. B, Jerry McSeinfeld. Or C, Kumail 2.0.
I'm gonna go with A.
Death row inmate O'Malley. That is incorrect.
Oh. Wow. We're all tied up at 1-1. All
right. In the episode, Dan. In the episode Everyone's a Rapper, comedian Misha complains that everyone in his family calls him the same name. What is it?
Give me multiples.
A, Snap the Jap. B, Misha Kwan. Or C, Jackie Chan.
Everyone in his family?
Everyone in his family gets called the same name.
Oh, I'll try C.
C is correct. All Jackie right. Chan.
Nice.
I'm on the team with you, Dan. I'm laying low.
Oh, okay.
I'm laying low because I have no idea what's going on right now.
All right. MC, what ill-tempered skeleton did the gang piss off to start the trial of Tormod Tor?
Ooh. I'm going to need the choices.
A, Lenev. B, Lannister. And C, Fornheim.
Lenev.
That is correct.
I hope it's no one's first time here tonight.
Yeah.
We'll have him come up and give a review afterwards. It's kind of a fun show, I guess. I'm going to go play Pinochle with my uncle now.
Nine.
It's called
Jeff.
Pinochle. Go ahead.
How many times has Jeff said...
Starting again, I'm sorry, what?
How many times has Jeff said, that should be the title of the episode or some variant?
I'll take multiple choices.
A, 12 times. B, 15 times. Or C, there's no way I would look that up.
Well, knowing you, you looked it up. 12 times.
Nope, I didn't look it up.
Oh, you fucking...
I mean, looking it up would entail hundreds and hundreds of hours.
I would have been curious how many times he said it versus how many times it was. Because there are some times where I was like, yeah, it should. Oh, it's not, though. It's something else completely.
All right.
That's some homework for you guys to do.
Now, there's one of MC's homework. Tires is going to be flat, and there's going to be a note that says, like, why don't you run the game? And right. then you will not be pro Goldberg.
The one person on the side.
All right, MC.
Yes, sir.
Which episode manages the earliest episode naming, coming in less than 72 seconds into the episode? A, push the button, pull the chain. B, dudes and goo. Or C, Felicity Whack-a-Mole.
This is for us, right?
That's for MC.
For
me.
Oh, for MC. Okay.
I'm going to fail this one.
I think I know this one.
I'm gonna say A.
That is correct.
Awesome.
I was wrong.
Daniel, Shoney's loving audience member Big Red went to this college. Do you want? Can you guess or multiple choice?
Ooh, wait, hang on. We're a team, right?
You can chime in if you know.
He and I are together, right?
Yes.
I'm not going to guess, but I want to hear the multiple choice. I think I might know it, but I'm not confident about it.
A, Azusa Pacific, B, L.A. City College, or C, UCLA.
I was wrong again.
I think it's Azusa.
Because I was going to say something kind of along those lines, like
I think like it was. I think that ring a bell. Like, why would a words like Azusa Pacific ring a bell?
I go with that one.
All right, that is also correct.
Okay. Yeah. The first thing that came to mind was San Luis Obispo, and then Azusa Pacific seemed like, yeah.
Yeah, he was from San Luis Obispo.
Oh, is he really?
Went to, I don't care.
I'm a fucking genius.
All right. MC, name three sentient beings that Quark has had sex with.
Name three he hasn't.
That is actually a harder question. We'll move that to the bonus round.
I feel like I could, but go ahead and give me the multiple choice.
The name three things? Yeah. I have a list of four things.
Oh, shit. Okay, so I can't. Right. All right. A horse.
Yep.
Giant spider.
Yep.
Squirrel.
Did you have sex with a squirrel, Jeff?
Yeah. I don't. Did I?
Yeah.
And that's it.
He summoned a squirrel to have sex with it.
I also would have accepted Sharpie Butts a lot.
Right.
And
right.
Quark.
Oh, well.
And okay. Robo Breathy.
Hey there, lonely squirrel.
Spencer once appeared on Community as Annie Edison's brother. What was his first name, Dan?
What? Isn't that a trick question? Didn't it get changed? There was a.
Would I ever
mean,
trick you?
Going with the canon of the show, in other words, what his name was on screen. Damn it. Oh, I know what it was. It was the opposite because I wanted it to be Andy originally because as if their parents had named them after Raggedy Ann and Andy, but that didn't legally clear, so his name was Anthony.
All right. That's correct. I would have also accepted Spenceward.
So you would have accepted what?
Spenceward.
Spenceward.
I thought this were questions about Harmontown. I don't watch that show.
All right. Okay. Before breaking out, this is MC. Before breaking out in Back Brace Dynasty, Adam was a production manager on a terrible shark movie. What movie was it?
Is it us?
No, it's MC.
Oh, shit, I know this one.
Give me the choices.
Okay, Avalanche Sharks, Sharkano, and Shark Island 2 Shark Bite.
Shark Island 2 Shark Bite.
Nope, I made that one up. Oh, all right, it's getting close. What's the score?
Oh, I can steal it?
I know it.
You can steal it.
Avalanche Sharks, right?
No. Yeah. Is it?
Okay, you can't. Okay, next question.
It wasn't Sharknado or whatever. That
no.
was
a
Sharknado? Sharknado.
It wasn't Sharknado.
Oh, so Avalanche Sharks.
It was Avalanche Sharks, which turned into Avalanche Shark once they didn't have enough shark puppets.
Right.
Two people got carbon monoxide poisoning because they got really, really low quality trailers. All right, next question. What? No, because the audience shouted out. Audience got a point. You guys are now in it. Okay.
Audience, you are now in third.
All right. In the episode, Frequently I Am a Woman in My Dreams, who admits to frequently being a woman in their dreams?
That's, is that MC's or ours?
Yours.
Oh, okay.
Me.
Yeah, Jeff.
That's correct. I would have also accepted Aaron.
I bet you would.
Oh, is that insulting? I don't... All right. All right, MC.
Yes.
For 2 points, two of Dan's foot fetishes... I'm going to name one of Dan's foot fetishes. You can name the other two for 2 points, or I'll give you one more and you can get it for 1 point. The first one is dangling.
Right.
There are two more that start with that letter.
Heel popping.
Yep.
And dipping.
Yep, he's got it. Back in it.
Wow. We have the worst podcast in the world.
All right. But the best listeners.
Yeah, the best, certainly the best listeners.
All right.
Boy.
In the Neil Hamburger, Tim Heidecker segment, Dead or Alive, how did Hosni Mubarak die?
What the fuck are you talking about?
In episode 108, in the Neil Hamburger, Tim Heidecker segment, how did Hosni Mubarak die?
It's, I mean, you get... You let him
The correct answer is he died choking on a rod he ate in some stew in an art gallery. He choked on a rod.
That was a Harmontown episode?
Oh, no, that's Comedy Bang Bang. I thought you guys...
What the fuck are you doing?
They haven't had me on yet. I need to suck up.
No, that one is stricken from the record.
Yeah, okay. Doesn't count. Next, the final question.
Okay, thank God.
And then the final one will be a top-up.
A top-up.
Convertible. How can Chicken Noodle Man of the eponymous song Make His Troubles Go Away?
Who's this for, by the way?
This is for Jeff.
All right.
I know it's not.
I guarantee you I know the Chicken Noodle Man question. I helped write the motherfucker.
Wait, is it MC's turn or Jeff's turn? Are you sure?
I'll give it to MC because I feel Jeff-ness.
One more time, you ask the question.
How can Chicken Noodle Man of the eponymous song Make His Troubles Go Away?
So easy.
Feed the devil soup?
That is correct. He feeds the devil soup from his penis. All right.
That was a lob. My girlfriend knows that song.
Pretty much tied up. The audience has fallen behind, but this is the last one. You're going to have to buzz in for this one because it is the tiebreaker.
All right.
It would break. The MC is winning, but this one could break the tie in favor of Team Dan Jeff.
All right.
All right. Duncan Trussell.
We buzz in?
I don't.
What do we do? Say buzz?
Yeah.
All right.
Duncan Trussell, who played Christaberg twice, once chopped off Christaberg's ding dong. He also carved something into Chris's arm. What was it?
Bzz.
Yep.
A pentagram.
Nope. All right, MC, if you get this one, you got the game. If not, I am out of questions.
Shit, man. It was about something Kumail said on his own show about a game, and I cannot remember what game it was.
Fuck.
He said, how can you have a gaming podcast and not talk about StarCraft 2? I'm going to count for MC in the audience.
MC!
All right, MC wins. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Adam Goldberg, everybody.
That was a lot of hard work. For both Adam and all of us, right?
Yeah.
We all deserve a round of applause. No, but thank you for putting in the research, Adam. Without that segment, we really would not have had a 100th episode special at all. You know?
It felt like something you would do in a 100th episode special.
Yeah. Otherwise, it'd just be me talking about, what, crime shows? What am I? The what am I guy?
If you had to
Andy
choose,
Kindler?
Dan, if you went to another planet and you had to choose, there was only one of the three possibilities available to you that women could do or you could watch on porn.
Wait, what's
heel popping, dipping, or dangling? You had to pick one. What is
my favorite out of heel popping, dipping, or dangling?
What's your desert island heel fetish thing?
Well, you get dangling out of there right away. Because there's no activity to that. I mean, that's like dangling is what follows a heel pop.
So it's built into the heel pop.
And heel popping's built into a dipping.
What's dipping again?
Well, dipping it could be like a lot of things. It could be like it could be like a woman like. Well, no. That's just heel popping. Okay. Well, dipping is like the shoe is on the floor and the foot is going in and out.
Dipping.
Well, like a the woman is lost in thought. She's just casually dipping her foot in and out of shoe.
I'm presuming I'm not a foot fetishist or a heel fetishist, but I'm presuming that you'd want a little bit of all of those. You'd want a little.
Yeah, I think that's why
you want
come
a couple
together.
Dips. A
it's
couple
like
pops,
eyes, ears, nose, and throat. Like you don't like bother to, you know.
But again, you have to pick one.
Well, tell that to an eyes, ears, nose, and throat guy. It's like, oh, I'm an optometrist. I mean, who needs those? All right. What about that? I mean, what is that? You know, what do you go to an eyes, ears, nose, and throat guy?
Are you dodging the question?
There's such a thing as an optometrist. It's like just an eye guy. I'm trying to picture all three separate somehow and give you an actual sincere answer. I guess. I guess dipping.
All right, dipping. That's on our 200th episode, that'll be a trivia question.
All right, let's bring out my fiance, Erin McGathy.
Hello.
Hi, Scoops.
Hi.
Scoops?
It's a dipping reference.
Scoops Johnson was the evil Knievel of dipping. anything you want to address or anything?
Well, I was trying to think of my own fetishes. I guess not. I don't know. No, doing great.
Do you have any fetishes?
I like smoking. I know it's really bad for people.
That's just called an addiction. That's not like a
yeah. But if we're talking about,
you mean you like look at how guys look when they smoke?
Yeah, not people I know, because the only person I know who smokes is Dustin Marshall, and I imagine him back there being like, oh no. No, I like I like fetishes outside of. I mean, that's. I missed the first part of that, the exchange that you just had about the dipping and the. Jeff asked you what your favorite pornographic foot thing was, right?
Yeah, out of because there's this phrase, dipping. What is it? Dipping, dangling, heel popping. It's kind of like I'm saying. Like it's usually it's that. That's a more specific, long-winded way of saying shoe play. Shoe play is under the branch of foot fetish, which is, I don't know, like then there's, that's a big tree.
The real tragedy of this, and if you guys have been to the show live or seen pictures, I usually wear these boots and these tights. It's because I don't have feet. And backstage listening to this.
It's actually
that's the best reaction to
it's when I acquired my foot fetish is when we when we became intimate and I realized you had no feet. It was like I pine for feet now. She can't help it.
I have one fetish, first name, last name, Dan Harmon. Just all my sexuality is wrapped up in. Men and women, I think, work differently. I think
foot fetishism is a very male thing. Do women, are there a lot of women foot fetishists? Are there gals? Anyone in the
ladies?
Audience, would anybody admit to it? Any gals? It just seems like women wouldn't have a foot fetish because guys' feet are like, wow.
Or a foot fetish.
Once we go down this road, we're going to run into this millennial LA. Like,
I have a listening fetish. I have a compassion fetish. I have a thoughtfulness fetish.
So why me?
Well, because it's, you know, because it's also weird. You know?
Yeah.
That's what makes it
the same
it a
way
fetish.
That she has no feet.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. No, but I do like smoking. I did once sleep with a man just because he looked like David Bowie, and I requested that he smoked while he had sex with me, and then I felt very ashamed because I did very much use him for that.
And because he sustained a lot of burns around his face, right?
No. He was smoking. He was smoking. Right.
But I mean,
he had to smoke a cigarette while having sex with you.
I made him put on. I'm going to regret this immediately. But I asked that he didn't know that I was going out with him just because he looked like David Bowie. And we got back to his
which era David Bowie? Like
Modern Love David Bowie.
Right.
And I asked him to put on a David Bowie record. He had Hunky Dory put on the record.
Wow.
And then he had cigarettes because he was a smoker. And I said, you probably have to smoke right now, right? And he was like, what? No. He was very dumb. He was very, very dumb. It's not a proud moment, but I asked if he could smoke a cigarette while making holding love to me.
And holding a glass ball in the other hand.
And yeah. Asking you or telling you that you remind him of the babe.
Yeah. What babe?
Sarah. Oh my God, 100th anniversary episode guest, David Bowie's here. Wow! Aaron. I'm here because you asked me to be, Aaron.
Jareth, my
wait,
fiance
so
here.
When David Bowie comes out.
Shut up!
All right. His name is David.
I'd like to make love to you while smoking and eating a cake.
No,
I'll offer you bites of crumbs and saucers.
No.
I'm a musician. I don't have to write well.
Oh, Dan, you have not returned your books on time.
Are you calling David Bowie Dan now? I'm confused.
No.
She's countering with...
Oh, I see.
You have not returned your books on time. Ugh, these stockings make my shoes slide off.
These stockings
so embarrassing.
Make my shoes slide off.
All right, yeah. Can I hit pause on this?
That's like the equivalent of just in a regular porn, an actor saying like, God, my vagina is so penis shaped. It's like an inverted penis. Like one would just fit in like a.
I mean, Dan, I've never seen any of these videos. Can we just attempt the talking version of this?
Yeah,
well, I don't watch them for the talking.
Is there in your shoe play video in your average like just run of the mill workaday shoe play film or scene?
I mean, there's no such thing. If it's like there's Krippendorf's Tribe.
Krippendorf's Tribe.
No, there's no run of the mill.
The Casablanca.
There's like a lot of. There's
remember
like
you were telling me once about a pantyhose video, and you said we both knew that they were called challenges.
Okay, you were cleaning out my shit, and you found a VHS tape, and it said like Summer's Pantyhose Challenge.
Yeah,
or something.
I found
like
one.
That.
I found one.
All right.
I found one with many other friends. There was, you know, Christina's pantyhose challenge.
But you were like, look, I knew when I was cleaning up stuff, I'd find stuff. I'm not here to judge you, make you feel awkward in front of 200 people or anything like that. Like, you said all that. And then you said, but for my own edification, because there's no such thing as a VCR anymore, could you please tell me what does that mean?
What Summer's is the challenge?
What is the challenge? And I said, I think that it just means like how many pair can she put on in one video? And then you started laughing, and I was like, yeah, it is ridiculous, the idea that it's a challenge. But then I found out like 45 minutes later that the whole time you thought that meant all over each other, like yeah. she was just like had these giant legs, like, number 58.
She was on That's Incredible.
Continued cleaning, and I came back in, and I was like, I could do that. I mean, how many? I was like, what was the most? You know, like.
You saw the word challenge. That's your fetish, is competitiveness. You're like, challenge, challenge. I'll win that. Anyways.
Yeah. Is there dialogue in a shoe play video? I mean, or is it all from the table
I mean,
down,
it depends
or?
On what you're talking about. Like, there's a million, I'm 41 years old. I predate the internet. There's candid stuff where it's like actual creepy, like I'm on a train and here's like, there's a woman seat ahead of me and she was heel popping, dipping or whatever. There's people that have websites or there's videos like that. Then there's
people like their shoes or hate them.
What?
I mean, in
the video,
videos.
No, there's no narrative. There's no Bruce Banner of heel popping that's like, oh, these if only I could find out how to get these shoes off or the shoes are... I think the whole thing comes from like it's probably the root of the tree that has to do with leg and foot fetishry. I don't want to offend anybody who shares this stuff, but I would hazard a guess that there's a root among that tree. There's a trunk of that tree that has a little bit to do with self-loathing and you know, more voyeurism and less intimacy. Just to like maybe little kids playing under the table with their Matchbox cars when that were raised in the 70s and 80s, whose first sexual thought happened at the same time as, like, you know, just looking at a woman's fully clothed legs, as opposed to, like...
I just want to know if there's women out there, like, wishing there were more videos of men, like crock dipping, you know, or like
I mean, this is right, like...
Boot sliding.
For this audience, as soon as you were to say anything gender specific, there's somebody that's going to be the exception. There's always, and it's like we're trying to learn not to draw these gigantic circles. But the conventional wisdom has it that men are a lot more visually like we're a lot more given to this thing called fetishes that are visual because there's something that's more like we're more able to associate imagery with that. Goes right to our libido, and women aren't like that. I don't know if that's passé now, if that's like just something that we became accustomed to thinking about men and women in the 70s and 80s or 90s, and now we're starting to actually second guess that. I know for sure there's always going to be somebody that's going to stand up and go, I'm a woman and I'm totally visually stimulated, and they're not going to be lying. But I also like it, how can you have general conversations about sex? Remember that Ralph Fiennes movie, that guy, what's that guy, what did he find out? He found out we're fucking insane. We're all insane because none of us talk about sex with each other. So we don't,
have you guys ever watched porn together? You and Aaron?
Talking about Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, right. Not Ralph Fiennes. Well, Liam Neeson's here, everybody, for the 100th.
Are you the kind of couple that will watch a little pop in the video and watch a little porn together?
Well, in the way that Dan's established that his porn is just ladies that are, that have like a ledger. And we have never watched
porn together.
We've never watched porn together. Anyways, do you watch porn with your girlfriend?
No.
I don't know what kind of, and I think it's great when couples do. I think it's great.
We should really.
I don't care whether or not they do. I think if they do, I think that's.
I don't know if I talked about it when I did your. This feels terrible, but I dated a girl a long time ago, and she brought home. We dated for like 45 minutes, I think, and but she brought home some porn, and she's like, I've never watched porn with a guy before. I went to a video store, bought some porn, and one of the titles was Let's Play Pussy Darts.
How do you win? How do you win? How do you win? That's Aaron's next question.
How did they know who won?
I'm assuming that's the guy saying it to the woman. Like, wait, am I the dartboard? That's the worst. Let's play pussy.
Oh, it's just a euphemism? I was actually trying to picture,
And also,
they probably started playing, and then they got caught up in the moment, and they didn't finish.
Let's play pussy.
I've been misled by these titles before.
We'll never know who's the best at pussy darts. You know what bums me out is the new thing in the 21st century, the new porn thing where they don't have to come up with pun titles anymore when they do the Flint Bones and the Robocock and stuff. Like now it's just like the new thing is it just says like, you know, XXX Brady Bunch, or this is not Flash Gordon. I don't know what the fuck. Godzilla the porn version. Like, the titles aren't clever anymore.
Godzilla
the porn version.
Wait, are the pussy darts in that movie just penises?
I didn't watch the movie.
I think pussy darts must be just a euphemism for regular old missionary sex.
And I will forever call penises pussy darts. Forever. Look at all the pussy darts.
Everyone can always feel like a winner. Yeah, it's like bullseye
well,
again.
But then women are just have targets. So then it's a bummer.
Yeah. Let's get Spencer up here for this conversation. 100th episode, Spencer. He's 100 times the Spencer.
Spencer combed his beard 100 times.
What's up, you guys?
Hey.
Pussy darts.
Yeah. Spencer and I have watched porn together, though.
I throw them.
Yeah.
You throw a pussy dart once in a while?
I guess that's what I said, yeah.
At the end of that movie, does the woman look at the guy / the camera and say, nice grouping?
or the camera just pans out or pulls back. And there's just a bunch of penises, like kind of somewhere like on our stomach. Like yeah. There's a bunch of misses somewhere in the bed. Yeah.
That one's a redo.
They just shake hands at the end and say, good game.
Yeah. It all takes place in a pub. There's a chalkboard off to the side. I told you the thing that this is secondhand, but it's not like anyone's not going to believe me because it's So somehow the topic of porn came up, and then from there the topic of these gangbang videos came up, where there's these gangbang videos where let's set the record, let's make sure the most men ever can have sex with this one woman, and it's very like, you know, it's just she's on a vinyl ottoman and it's just like a warehouse full of men, and it couldn't be less sexual if you made it just the weather. But it's then the top of the DVD case would say like 150 or 200, you know, they're like trying to like, it's like an arms race. Somebody was talking about one of those videos that they saw, and it's just men.
Who was this person?
I can't even remember. All I remember.
It's your ex-girlfriend, Juju. Sorry.
All I remember is the punchline. Let's not get too distracted by all the particulars. Because the punchline's not even that good. But I just, like, the guy that we were talking about, those videos where there's just like these lines of guys, and then you can see you can see a guy, like two friends. Yes, race is important to this story. One of them was white and one of them was black, and they were like whispering to each other and giggling, and then they both got into the line and came up, and then the black guy went first, and he finished, and then his white friend that you could see off camera, like out of focus, like giggling with him, then ran up as his black friend went away and announced in a kind of stilted, like nervous, like this is what we agreed we'd do, said, you've had the chocolate, now here comes the milk.
No.
And I was like, wait a minute, what? And it's like I have 500 questions. Like what is it? Why is that the dichotomy? Wait, he's Dan. Is his skin the chocolate? Because his cum looks like milk, and so does yours. And that should have made you realize that race is an artificial construct. While you were gangbanging, this woman. How about class systems and fucking misogyny? What are you trying to break down the wrong barriers here, man?
These guys were only 30 in line. If they had been 200 or so, they would have had time to kind of workshop that.
They would have had time. Something
gonna,
about
I'm
the
gonna
fact
say
that
this. I'm gonna say this.
No. We can punch that. We can punch that up.
There's milk in both of you. Work with that. If you want to focus on the color of his skin, like there's got to be some kind of right Oreo M&M. I don't know what. I'm not gonna think about it because I'm not racist. I care about this lovely young lady, who only committed the crime of staying up past curfew. You know, her dad's wondering where she is. Here comes the milk. You've had the chocolate. Here comes the.
I mean, he should have just said white chocolate, I guess.
I don't know what he should have. He should have
been at home, thinking of ways to.
He should have said all government is a lie. I mean, that's your. This is your one chance to be heard.
Oh, property is theft.
silence is consent.
What if that
we've all been marginalized by the military-industrial complex to believe that we're participating in a democratic system, but revolution doesn't happen in a curtain booth. If voting was powerful, it'd be illegal. Ah!
He just gave you liberty. Now I'm going to give you death.
No, that's weird. That's bad. That's bad.
And silence is consent is complicated.
That was just in a drawer of aphorisms about just politics.
How do they find? I feel like Spencer might know this, and not because.
Oh yeah.
Not for any good reason. But you know fun
I'll
facts like this.
I'll take it from here.
How do you? Oh.
No. What?
Spencer After Dark.
What's the question?
In a gangbang video.
How do they get all those? Guys, do you think?
Like, why do you suppose Spencer would know this?
Well, because you know Spencer.
Spencer knows how people, you know, message board each other.
You've been in the Tarzana area. You've been approached by one of these vans that's where you've seen like eight dudes kind of huddled up in the back, and there's the driver's going, "Hey, you want to be in a porno?"
Oh. Usually when there's eight dudes in a van, they're selling vacuum cleaners.
No. Wait, what?
Those are just ladies.
Why does it take eight guys to sell a vacuum cleaner?
It's a very rigorous process.
That's your first mistake, Jeff. It takes eight guys to sell eight vacuum cleaners.
Oh, shit.
I'm the Alec Baldwin of this vacuum cleaner company and this David Mamet play called Suck and Profit.
Always be sucking.
Suck and profit.
Has anyone ever seen a poster that's like gangbang this Thursday? Please come if clean.
I bet there's a lot of like porn insiders, right? Like it's a whole industry. Like,
yeah,
they
yeah.
Probably
I
have
think,
a lot
I
of
think,
buddies
I think it is a whole
stuff.
Industry.
You know, they just do it. I mean,
but
probably.
There's giant gangbangs. Those guys aren't all professionals. Those are the roommates and neighbors of the guys
I mean,
that are
like
professionals.
Have you guys ever gone to Stardust for porn star karaoke up in the valley?
Yes.
Wow. Half our audience. Yeah, I went there once. It was a long time ago, and I didn't know that's what it was. I went to meet some friends. Like, oh, this is porn star karaoke. I'm like, what do you mean? And these are mostly porn stars. And there was little leaflets, little flyers on each table. And it almost had the drawing of two people fucking, like a walk, don't walk, like stick people. It didn't go that far, but it said, like, please. I think it had like a clip art thing of people kissing or maybe like bent over and fucking. But it said, like, please do not have sex in the neighbor's yards.
Yeah, okay.
Which was like, we've had a lot of complaints. Like this is karaoke, people.
Yeah, we know the phrase porn star karaoke could possibly mean, hey, try fucking. Give it a shot.
I think these porn stars, they just get together and they all just find a bush and they all just start doing it.
Wait, do they sing?
Huh? Oh, yeah, they get up and they sing. Yeah, yeah. And they turn around, bro, eyes and all kinds of shit, man.
All right. That was all confusing. Hey, Spencer, so Spencer and I were driving. Spencer, like, kind of drives me around a lot.
It's cool.
Because I found out through the Uber revolution, I really don't like driving. And then after Uber got lame, I just realized, well, Spencer's on the payroll. I could pay for his mileage, and he could come pick me up for work. Where am I going? You know? So, I really just like being driven around.
It's fun.
So we were driving. And there was this guy picking his nose next to us. Have we discussed this?
I don't think this was maybe
so
a little.
There's a guy picking his nose. Hey, look at that guy's picking his nose. Which and by the way, is everybody using their pinky? Because I know this is gonna freak people out. Like when I said that I wipe standing up,
You still wipe standing up?
Yeah, I didn't change because I found out that like everyone does this other thing for 40 years. Like I'm fucking like, if there's one thing
I'll never get over that. I'll never ever.
I know. I looked it up now, and I'm like, oh shit! Like 40% of the public wipes standing up.
What?
So yeah, and we're human beings. Yeah, and we're among you.
40.
That's according to the statistics.
When you wipe standing up, do you sway back and forth ever?
Yeah, like I sing
That's
a little song.
That's what I imagine as like
a
little
I'm a little
baby
cloud baby making my poop. It's gotta get it out of my cloud do poop. So listen, I'm not going to make any more friends.
And you pick your nose with your pinky.
I pick my nose with my thumb.
Your thumb.
Well, I also do. I pick my my nose with my thumb.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I use every finger at my disposal.
I don't know how I would use a pinky. That would be like trying to open my use my foot to put my car key in. I don't know.
I use my thumb because then you have a shield.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm doing it right now.
Oh, what's the shield? That's what you've been doing every time you do that?
Wait, what's the shield in this equation?
In this equation, the shield is my fingers.
Oh, so they block vision. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
That's just what I do.
You meant that your thumb had a shield on it. And I was like a thumbnail? All fingers have that. So I'm sorry.
No,
I'm sorry.
Talk about my.
So there was a guy picking his nose in the car next to our car. Right. And I was like, guy picking his nose. I don't know, and he was clearly like somebody. When you see somebody picking their nose on the road in the car next to you, like they're it's not like it's either one or the other. Either you'd see someone that's not willing to pick their nose in a car next to you, or you're seeing someone that is totally willing, and they're not really. They don't care about shields. You're seeing what they're doing because they don't give a fuck. And I've always been curious about that, and I'm sure so has Seinfeld.
Come on out, Seinfeld.
Hey, what's up with your 100th episode? So I say to Spencer, like, a guy picking his nose is weird. I say that stuff, and then Spencer says, like, I don't care. Like, those are the people I would pick my nose in front of, strangers on the road.
Yeah, fuck them.
And I said, and I heard myself say it, and then I realized, fuck, I'm really fucked up. It was like, I would pick my nose in front of people I knew way before I would pick my nose in front of someone that I would never see again in my life. Because their opinion is what really matters. And I was like, wow, I have, like, syphilis of the soul.
I would tend to feel the same way that Spencer does, but I wonder if maybe that the way that you feel makes you a better person, Dan, because you want to respect the people that you know. But I agree. I've done grosser things, like, around people that I don't know than people that I do know.
But wait, I want to respect the people that I do know? No, I'm...
No, he's willing to gross the people
out. And disrespect the people that you do know, right. I guess. But, like, you're less worried about the... Well, wait.
I feel like each person is like a character that's like I feel like I have 100 tries with Jeff to be a decent person. And if a stranger, like, that's why I'm always like really freaked out in public about, like, you know, just like, you know, people, like, you know, in the next booth over.
Oh, you're right. You're a worse person.
Yeah. Because I feel like those people, like, I'm like.
Yeah, you really care about their opinion.
Like,
yeah.
They're God or something. Like, those are God's eyes because I'm never going to see them again.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll yell at me, like, if I'm being too loud in public or, like, being too, like, you know, womanly.
What?
Or just, like, too, I don't know. I was trying to make a joke about you telling me what to do in public. But, like, but you do care about the way that. But I don't know. It goes back and forth with you. Like, when you took your flight with Dino a couple of days ago, you didn't care about the people around you. But then other times you
did. I did, though. Like, that's why that was my worst nightmare. But I was having a good time with Dino on the flight out to New York. And I knew at the outset. And I had a witness this time because it was for the Adult Swim upfront. So that guy, JJ, that had the grill in his teeth at the upfronts, that he was sitting a couple rows back, and he came up to me at the upfronts and he said, "What the fuck did you do on that flight?" And I said, "We were laughing, we were having a good time." He's like, "God damn, I was watching the whole thing." I'm like, "They're not doing anything. Jesus, Dan Harmon can't not get into trouble. Like people just don't like him."
What happened?
Well, just this, you know, flight attendant came and crouched down as in the midst of Dino and I, just like. We're just being happy. And remember our flight?
Yeah, but we were shit. Kid.
Well, we were.
We were in Vegas for 17 years, and we like should have left a long time before. We looked like trouble, I believe.
She came and squatted next to me, and she said, "You see, no, somebody asked me to tell you guys. Could you please keep the volume down? You know, I think that was the
someone's working
gist of it. Well, like, then I think maybe that information came later because I was just like, I just get devastated. I'm just like." I'm going from the height of my happiness, just having a great time. I'm laughing. Were we the loudest people in first class? Probably, if you're gonna bother to chart it, but like everyone else had headphones on, we were also not being very loud, in my opinion. I'm pretty self-conscious about this stuff because my worst nightmare is what happened, which always happens to me, which is this woman squatting down next to me and saying like, "Could you guys pipe it down? You know, like you're bumming someone on this plane who will forever remain nameless and faceless wishes you would fucking die and go to hell." And then just probably, oh, okay. And then I can't go from, ha, 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 I'm having a good time, I love my life, to, ha, 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 I'm having kind of a good time, 90%. I'm going to go from that to fucking, I want to slash my wrists.
I mean, I hate it when people say that they're going to play devil's advocate, but I'm going to play devil's advocate. You just said this happens to you all the time.
Yes.
Are you maybe the common denominator in this? Like, this happens to you all the time. Do you think that just the world is against you?
Wait, do you perceive, well, you and you tell me, you've been with me for 3 years, do you perceive me as a loud person in public?
No, I don't. I'm just going to...
If I told you that I get chastised a lot in public by and I get stared at a lot in public, and like if I told you like how many times per year someone in a restaurant like stops what they're doing and leans over their booth and says like, "Excuse me, I'm listening to what you're saying, and it's I myself am in an improv troupe, and it was a helpful workshop for me, and I don't think it's fair to say it's just like the thing you said that really, how often does that happen to you per year? If I told you 6 times per year for me, would you go like, okay, something's weird, or would you just, I mean, what did I ever do? I'm just telling you, it just happens to me all the time. And
do
I'm
you guys remember
you,
when we were in Scotland? Did we talk about this? We went to the my girlfriend's from a small town called South Queens Ferry. Went to this little museum on the high street, this small street.
Oh, no,
and we had gone to a we'd woken up. It's like, we're gonna go to pub crawl. There's 7 bars along the street, and we're gonna start at one end. And we're gonna do all the pubs, and we did them all. And it was great fun. And it's this cute little quaint street. It's unchanged for hundreds of years. Very quiet and quaint and cutesy. And it's like pub, antique shop, pub, antique shop, restaurant, pub. And there's a little museum, tiny little two-story affair. We go up there, and there's a little old lady who looks like the librarian in Ghostbusters, and she's on a typewriter. And she's just quiet and not talking. And Dan goes, "I got to go pee." So he's like, you go, as far as I know, you go out to look for a restroom. And then you're gone for like 15, 20 minutes. And Aaron's like, "Where's Dan?" And we're like, "I don't know." And then we found out that there was no restroom in the museum, so Dan had gone elsewhere. So Aaron says, "I'm going to go look for him." So Kate and I are upstairs with the little cute little old lady on a typewriter, which is amazing. And it's graveyard silence midday along South Queens Ferry High Street. And then I just hear, "Dan! What are you doing? I lost my wallet! Get over here! Get back here! I lost my wallet! What are you doing?" I was like, you couldn't have been far enough away that you couldn't have walked and had that conversation. And, yeah. and the little old lady turns up and she goes, "Did he just say he lost his wallet?" I said, "We all heard it." And the whole city heard this conversation.
I couldn't. I was standing outside a bar that I had attained special permission to walk out of because there was no cell phone coverage. I hadn't paid for my drink because Aaron had my wallet. I had bought a drink.
As I always do.
I had bought a drink.
Part of the story is that on the street, no cell phone coverage.
I had bought a drink because I felt like a homeless person using their bathroom. I didn't know if things were like, you know, if that was a transcultural thing, but I felt very awkward walking in and using a place's bathroom and then walking out. So I went to the bar, ordered a pint. Used their bathroom, came back, couldn't pay for the pint. My phone has, I can't text Aaron, the phone has no coverage. And then I explain the whole thing to this poor woman who's like, did not buy a ticket to that ride. but now everyone's like eyeing me because it's like American Werewolf in London. Like I'm just like this like guy that's got this fucking story, and I'm like, I'm just gonna step outside. I just cell phone coverage. I can't pay for the drink now, and it's like I just seem like a very suspicious character at this
point. And I see you walking out of the pub, and I'm just waving at
you.
So
I'm
like,
tethered
come join
to this
us.
Place by virtue of financial accountability. I have made a big deal out of, if I make a break for it, grab the pitchforks. So I'm like staying with, so I'm just like, and there's Aaron, and she just keeps, she's tethered by outrage.
The Burry Man. I really wanted
to a museum, and she's just screaming at me, and I'm screaming at her, and that's what you heard.
Yeah. Oh, God. So the next day, so Dan comes back, we find out he had to go back to all the bars we went to that day to find his wallet.
Right. I never lost my wallet.
No, I thought you did lose your wallet.
No.
No, I had. He had given me his wallet. I was holding onto his wallet. He went to the pub. He came outside. I didn't know where he went.
We were about to just hear a weird. Oh, what was the story going to be?
Then
we met a man with a red hat.
I thought you'd actually lost your wallet. You actually had to go look for your wallet after that. But you'd had it in your purse.
Yeah. He had given me his wallet because. Okay. For some reason. And then So there was this moment when Dan and I are 100 yards away from each other, and I'm in the most angry way possible, waving and yelling because I really wanted him to see. My reason was dumber than his, because I was like, you have to see this exhibit! I wanted him to see the Burry Man.
Yeah.
And so I was screaming, the Burry Man is here, which must have been even weirder for the museum lady, because she's like, no one has ever been this excited about that.
No one's ever been in that museum before.
Yeah. But yeah. Dan was screaming.
Well, someone was in there and took a piss and had some cats with him.
Dan was fuming on the other side.
Based on the smell.
It did smell like a cat peed in there, or somebody, yeah.
I think the difference is that you, nobly so, this is something I admire about you, Dan, is that you have a lower tolerance for people, strangers trying to get their own fun out by telling people to stop doing stuff. And I'm more willing to be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I fucked up. But you stand up for yourself and for the people you're with.
Well, I don't know. I couldn't decode that, but I'm terrified of strangers in general. So I get more mad at them when they fuck with other strangers. I tend to do what they say over my own best friends. I'll just go fuck it. It's not worth it. This total stranger is being high maintenance. Let them have their high maintenance moment. Don't let this moment be about us in a bumper car ramming into them. Don't give them that story. Let them be this ignorant, blustery person that's just speeding through our lives. Path of least resistance, Taoism, let them through. And so sometimes that ends up with me actually being more respectful to total strangers than to the people closest to me. You just spent the last 8 seconds of me talking making these weird Plastic Man faces, like you're Turbo Teen. You're gonna turn into a car. Now what were you going to say?
I don't know. I guess I disagree.
You
all.
Disagree with what I was just saying?
I do. Yeah.
You disagree that I have. Respect for...
No, I think you're respect for other people, but I haven't seen this behavior that you're talking about.
When I get mad at bouncers, bartenders, waiters...
People.
Threshold guardians, parasites,
people
who are... Those people don't count. I understand what you're saying. You're thinking of specific stuff. These people are a blight. People who have put themselves in a station where they have decided to lord over one little section of Earth and make everyone else miserable. Yeah, I don't like those people tried to keep my dad poor.
Okay, all right, I gotcha.
I think it's fair to make them feel bad about themselves. Flight attendants,
waiters,
DMV clerks,
yeah, but
cops,
pedestrians,
on our flight,
lawyers.
On our flight, you and I were pretty incensed about the fact because we thought we were having just a good old time. We weren't barfing and stumbling down the aisles. We got in our seats on a Southwest flight from Vegas back to LA, and yeah, we were drunk, but I didn't think that we were causing any trouble. We were giggling like mad, but it's a flight back from Vegas, and I've done that flight a million times. Everybody's a little bit drunk, and everyone's giggling and whatnot. And the flight attendant came up to us, or was it the fucking pilot? Somebody, somebody with some fucking epaulets came over and came over you guys good?
Yeah.
It was the flight attendant first, right?
Flight attendant came over first. I think we told the story already. Yeah. But the flight attendant came over first and said, okay, would you guys like something to drink? Asked us that. And then I said, do you have a Kettle One vodka? She's like, no, we don't. I said, well, then whatever vodka you have. And then you ordered something. She's like, okay, well, have you guys already been drinking, though, a little bit? She led us down this canal.
That's so rude. rude.
It was so fucking rude. We had to like adjust the citrus and fucking like in our mind. Like she conjured images of cocktails in our thought balloons. Like we were Mario and Luigi trying to grab a fucking magic hamburger. And then poof, made it go away and said like, yeah, you're drunks. Fuck off. And then she was like, so can I get you a soda or anything like that? And I was like, no. I was like kind of chastened and just felt bad. And then she walked away. 5 minutes later, some dude comes up. I think it was just another flight attendant, yeah. But it was like she was like in the front of the plane, maybe going like now her sensitivity's an issue. Like now she feels like chastened. So he came back and said,
but we made a joke when she walked away. It wasn't like we have a bomb on the plane. We didn't do that. But we said we did crack wise as she was walking away.
I think we gathered up with a little. Shards of our integrity, fucking like cradled them in our little pathetic palms in a post 9/11 world where these bureaucrats are newly empowered. And it's like it was the fucking worst, man. We didn't do anything wrong, and I never do anything wrong. And anyone that says I do is an enemy of the people. And the people don't include anyone in the service industry. All right, anyways, it'll be in my blog. I don't know. I don't have any rules. I just strangers' opinions are important to me. I don't know why. It's like that's the weird thing. The isolating weird thing. The scientific experiment of the car next to you is a unique one because as Spencer pointed out, you're literally never going to see those people ever again. And there are some people who are liberated by that enough that they'll just jam their pinky up their nose while they idly stare by. There are some people who are just like fuck with you, like look over at you and like make weird faces. So they're kind of like they're like, hey, it's like an aquarium. Like what? I struggled through the logic of it. I was like, well, we're on Los Feliz Boulevard. I mean, these people take the same route. And I was like, no, I don't really think I'm ever going to see these people again. Their opinion is valuable to me precisely because I am never going to see them again. Strangers. That's why I sit on Twitter and people go like, I love you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Six seasons and a thing in the Bob. And then the one person goes like, you douche. And I go, all right, stop it. Everybody stop. What's your name? Samantha. Samantha, what the fuck? What makes me a douche? I want to know what makes me a douche. You tell me. You tell everybody. Step right up, everybody. The douche detector's here. Please, for your enjoyment, planet Earth, I present to you Samantha, the douche expert. Oh, what was their first inclination that I was a douche? I was bored. You were bored, William. And then everyone else is always like, how come you never just say thanks when I say I love you? Is it because you hate me for loving you? No, I just like I what is that? What is this? Is a fucking like there's a dead pixel on my screen. I gotta fix it. Every person you contact is like you're running your fingers. Your life is running your fingers over this harp. The billion strings.
What if you found out that someone who was nice to you on Twitter was a server or a bartender or a?
I was being glib about that.
Are you saying, Dan, that you feel more defined by the opinions of anonymous people, strangers, than the people that you're close to, like friends, family,
because it's like the backscatter machine. Like, are you trusting the waves that are being objective and moving through your body and probably giving you cancer? When we x-ray ourselves, when we take measurements of ourselves, we trust the strangers among the particles and things. We don't trust the things that are stuck to us. We don't define our... When we measure things, we seek objectivity.
So you say friends' opinions of you can't be valid because they're too subjective?
Well, they've entered into a relationship with you. They have a covalent bond now. Their electrons are sharing orbits.
Well,
and
I think in your ideal world, your family would be just every stranger that you met. But then the second that you had a conversation with them, then they would drop away. They would just fall away, right?
Well, I hope not.
Because I mean, you're not close to your family.
Yeah, but you got to ask them about that. They waited on me once, and they brought me a lot of wrong water.
Wrong water.
It was ice.
Yeah, it was solid. What's up with that? I don't know. I mean, you're... reactions to what I'm telling you guys in a confessional state almost sounds
subjective.
Well, no, persecutorial. Like you guys are not only just seeking information, you're actually trying to feel something about this.
I think we're trying to get to the bottom of it, but I do think that you perceive any kind of probing question as persecution. Sometimes I think you feel accusation when there isn't one. Sometimes
I'm definitely erring on the side of people wanting me to change when I'm talking to them.
Well, I mean, we love you. It's all nice. We just talk a man. We just chatting. I mean, it is funny.
You look so bummed out right now. You look really.
The speech that you made about like strangers and stuff was confusing to me. I don't want you to feel bad or change or whatever. But like your perception of the way that you interact with the world is great. It's great.
It's certainly very different than me because I don't give a fuck about strangers. I don't care about anybody I don't know that thinks about me. I mean, not completely, but like, you know, but someone I don't know, like, fuck, I don't give a shit. I definitely would chart my course by people that I'm close to and people whose opinions I respect, like that people that I've like I'm closer to. Like, I really don't give much of a fuck about like the. I mean, yeah, like, you're not. I don't know. I think I've said
it. One of the things I really appreciate about you is I feel like you're less stressed out about getting the approval of strangers and small moments like that. Like, I know, like... I don't know.
We're all saying the opposite thing every other sentence, and between the three of us, our behavior is virtually identical, and I feel like if I just said what you guys say instead of what I say, that you wouldn't be able to... It's not that different. Like,
I'm
you guys
trying
are
to
like,
bring you down, but you guys I guess are the difference is that, like, I with bartenders and so, like, I've been a server and I've been a thing, so I have a certain sensitivity to people who are waiting on me. And not that you're insensitive, because you're not. You're not an insensitive person. You're a very, very kind, wonderful person. But like, we have a different idea of like what it is to be like mean to a server or a bartender or a flight attendant or whatever. I feel like you're quicker to dislike one of those people than I am, and maybe I'm more prejudiced than you are. And maybe you're doing the right thing.
I'm quicker to dislike, but you're more prejudiced.
I mean, more like I'm more.
This is
biased.
The most boring. Like,
yeah, I know.
It's like 60 minutes if it was about nothing. except and also twice as long as 60 minutes.
I apologize. I just don't want you to think that you're being attacked.
I think it was about something. We kind of fell off of it a little.
Yeah, but it was.
Talk about gender.
To the extent that it has the possibility of getting specific, it feels like we're getting caught up in these general semantics. Where if I go like. I'm more concerned with strangers' opinions than I am with the people closest to me.
Yeah.
Like that's a very intimate, interesting thing to delve into. That's not true at all. What do you mean that's not true? Well, that one thing, and it's like we're just back out into static. Like it's not. Now we're talking about nothing.
Sorry. I had a reaction to it. I'm sorry.
But your reaction to it was. Disbelief? You thought I was lying?
Well, do you really want to talk about this more? I thought you want to move on from this. We'll talk about it later. Yes, it's disbelief. I have a different perception, but it's silly. Sorry. Right. Sorry. I'm very sorry.
Okay. I always feel like the things I say, like I can count on one hand the times that I'm thinking one thing and deceiving people.
Let's talk about what you said this morning at breakfast when you said I like my race more than the other races. Let's go from there.
That's just because we were eating cornflakes and it was a metaphor.
Was crying in the corner
Yeah. Well, he's free to jump in.
What?
What do you want, Spencer?
I really gotta go to the bathroom.
Wow, 100 episodes.
I was gonna go, but then I was like, don't wanna miss my big moment. I'm not trying to be difficult. I just really have to pee.
Well, let's play a little D&D, shall we? Shall we play a little D&D?
Well, let's.
What? Can I get Adam Goldberg to read? Can I get read the D&D thing while I go to the bathroom?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, Spencer. I didn't hear you say you had to pee.
What if
That's what I want to have happen.
Go pee. Go pee, Spencer.
Can I get Adam to read the D&D?
Spencer, go pee.
If we had a wireless microphone, we could play P&P.
They're out of paper towels.
Oh, that would be great.
Spencer could go in and describe his peeing. Emptying your bladder into the porcelain.
This is
going to
be great. This is going to be great.
Spencer just handed over his D&D Game Master monologue to Adam Goldberg, who has appointed
Seattle,
himself.
Seattle 2104.
Oh, God.
It's a goof. It's a goof. It's a gag. Should we get the music in?
Wow.
Now just all the ladies boo.
Adam, serious question. Not joking. Will you hear this audience kind of bristle and boo at when you kind of lay an egg, like a play on words that doesn't quite work?
Yeah.
Or simply coming up on stage.
Hang on.
Kind of coming up on stage unheralded. Like when you hear that audience reaction, like Dan was saying that he is more affected by strangers than by people close up. I'm the opposite of that. I think you and I are opposites in many ways as well. I'm not trying to be cute. If I walked up on stage 17,000 times, or even three, or two, or maybe even one, and I heard that reaction, I would leave the country.
Yeah.
But there needs
to be a bad guy, and I'm fine being a bad guy because I like my life. I'm happy with who I am.
Okay, good. Yeah.
And it's easy to have someone. Don't boom. I'm gonna get cheered. Ironically. But I'm saying, if it's got to be someone, I'd rather it be me than Aaron, who spends a lot of time on stage, or Dan, who's just shows about. I'd rather be like, oh, it's this guy, boo this guy.
But you don't mind the boos, or
I know that they're not going to probably jump me. Shouldn't have said that sentence.
but you're not hurt or negatively affected.
It is what it is. It used to bother me. It doesn't anymore.
But ideally, you'd probably rather people be. Yeah. Spencer's back.
Now, audience, what I just did was called stalling for time. Because I'm a goddamn showman and I worship you people. Let's do this fucking thing, Spencer.
He didn't read it, huh?
No.
No, I kept him talking like a hostage negotiator.
When we last met, our heroes had broken into Bill Mardigan's cigarette museum, hoping to steal up some cigarettes. But no sooner had they gotten inside than they encountered Bill Mardigan, the patron god of the city, a massive head of cigarettes. After some smooth talking, Sharpie Butzalot managed to convince Bill Mardigan to share his sacred smoke, which healed our party and cured their curses. Sharpie and Mulrain had to convince Bill Mardigan to help them find the Tarragon of Virtue, but the police arrived, forcing our heroes to escape through Wizbulb's magic bucket into a gnomish bathroom. Sharpie had to poop and did so with great gusto while Mulrain watched on. Quark left the room like a normal person and came upon a gnome named Flizdan, who was alarmed by the sudden trio shitting in his house. After a lengthy and flimsy explanation, the gnome was calmed down and revealed himself to be a member of a secret order of gnomes, obsessed with discovering the floating Isle of Paradise. I'm so out of breath. Jesus Christ, I need to exercise.
You just peed. You're dehydrated.
And ran. I'm not dehydrated. But would Flizdam truly be able to aid the party?
You're dehydrated, Spencer, I can see.
Hopefully we'll find out this time on Harmontown.
I think it's extra hot. I think it's a hot summer LA night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just fat and gross.
Because I keep thinking, like, I'm going to wear a hoodie all the time because it's like there's a sweat rag on the back of my... I keep using my hood to, like, wipe the back of my gross neck.
If you didn't wear a hoodie, you wouldn't be sweating that much.
Well, that's the weird irony, isn't it?
I don't think it's irony. I think it's just called mathematics.
Yeah, it's not irony. Yeah, it's... Yeah. Is there an opposite of irony? Just total perfect congruence with expectation?
I think it's called math.
I'm wearing a big, hot sweater with a sweat flap on the back that I used to wipe my sweat off.
Yeah. Sweat. I use my ponytail for that.
Do you really?
and to swat at flies.
Is the ponytail absorbent enough to take sweat off of your neck?
I don't know. No, it probably has the same hoodie effect that you were discussing earlier, which I would have brought up if you didn't bring it up, Jeff.
If you didn't have long, long, luscious, flowing, gorgeous romance novel cover hair, Spencer, what kind of haircut would you fancy?
I don't know. That's the reason why I have it like this, is because I don't know what it would look like short.
Anne Winthrop Bob.
Do you remember any of those things I said earlier?
Yes. So are we in Flizdam's apartment or house right
now? Yeah, you're in his house.
All right. So Flizdam, you work for a secret society of gnomes that want to find the Isle of Paradise?
Yes, that's a good summation.
Thank you. I hate to be so expository, but my friend just took a shit in your house, and we have a lot of explaining to do.
It has to be done.
We need to get there because we seek the Tarragon of Virtue. We're told that it exists on the Isle of Paradise.
Yeah, you know, I hear that's true.
Is it a sidebar with my adventurers, and I will clean this up.
There's a little handle.
It does?
Yeah.
I'll be damned.
This is Bill Mardigan's.
Shit.
Son.
You crafty bastards. You've invented indoor plumbing. Guys, I use the flush to mask the sound of my voice. Wasn't the point of the Tarragon of Virtue to remove the curses?
Yeah, from Krista Berg.
Yeah, didn't we get that removed now?
Did we?
Well, Krista Berg's is still on.
Oh.
Yeah. We're good, but Christopher.
Oh, our soul bound, smoky chain curses.
He's still possessed by demons.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry about the sidebar. I light a match.
Okay. I walk back out and said, look, take us there.
I can take you to our secret hideout.
Ooh.
Sure.
Is it on the Isle of Paradise?
No.
Is it just your friend's restaurant and you get kickbacks?
Yeah.
What's at the secret hideout?
That's where we hang out and gather and talk about our exploits.
Let's go to the secret hideout.
Yeah, all right. If you really think we'll be welcome.
Oh, yeah. You're with me. Flizdam.
You're a lot cheerier than you were a few minutes ago.
I shook it off.
Flizdam, what's your rank? Do you have a certain kind of standing in your society?
I'd say, society, like...
You're a gnome...
I'm an acolyte.
An acolyte.
Yeah, it's an important...
It's good.
That's good, that's good.
We should go.
Okay.
Right, let's do it.
Later, at the secret hideout.
You arrive at a building called the Burning Sycamore. It looks like a tree. It doesn't look like a flaming tree, though. It just looks like a tree.
But it is flaming?
No, it's called that, though. It's confusing. So Flizdam, he knocks on the door, and he goes, "It is I, Flizdam, who seeks the no-smoking zone."
All right.
And then he gives a series of complicated knocks on the door, and it slides open. And just like that.
That didn't seem that complicated.
That was kind of
identical to if a dead bird... dropped from...
And you see stairs going up style.
Finally.
It's really weird for a restaurant, I guess.
Okay. So
let's go!
You're sure it's cool that we're here?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
All right. Let's
the secret see. Part makes us feel like intruders.
That's a good point,
remember
actually.
Remember when we were in that fish for so long?
Yeah. The Infinifish.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
What?
I thought it would take like maybe a couple of episodes.
Whoa, Flizdam, how do you know about the Infinifish?
What are you talking about?
Oh, Flizdam.
Metaflism.
So he goes up the stairs. He goes up them.
I follow him.
He leads you up these stairs into it's pretty shitty. It looks like a treehouse. There's posters on the wall that are maps that are crudely drawn, and you just see a bunch of old gnomes. It just looks kind of like a gnome bowling club or something. They're hanging out on these lounge chairs that are all old and messed up, and they're just talking. And some of them are holding these weird flutes of liquid. Hmm. It's probably a beverage, but As Flizdam gets in, he introduces himself. He says, "I am here! Flizdam I am!
And everyone kind of looks at him.
Uh-oh.
And one of the guys speaks up, "Hey, who are these guys?" And he looks at you.
I think we just realized we were taking Flizdam's word for it that he's totally cool here.
Yeah.
we are friends of Flizdam and gnomes in general.
We're adventurers and we're seeking help and passage to the Isle of Paradise.
Well, you've come to the right place.
May I have a flute of liquid?
Sure. Flizdam, he brings you one.
Thank you.
He's like, "You should tell him your names."
I'm Quark.
I am Mulray and Sedata.
I'm Sharpie of Butzalot, of the clan Butzalot.
Okay.
Seeker of knowledge.
Really?
Wielder of belts.
Mother of dragons.
Breaker of chains. Seer of supplicants. Misser of tonight's episode.
Hater of spoilers.
DVRer of it. Watcher of it later. Recorder of it on Sunday. Nothing can be done about her.
Everyone looks at you in silent judgment, and Flizdam, he speaks up. He's like, "This is Grax, Thorax, Limpaw, Limtaw, Limsnaw, and our leader, Charles Hoffman."
Nice.
Charles Hoffman, we are but weary travelers and adventurers. Long have we sought a cure for our stricken friend, who is a curse laid upon him that only the tarragon of virtue may allay and assuage. And we are seeking passage, are we, to the Isle of Paradise?
Then you and I are of two minds, if I understood most of that, which I think I do, because we're gnomes, you and I.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, can I borrow a cigarette?
Oh, yeah.
You're a gnome, are you? I bet you love jokes as much as I do.
You know, you'd think that. But we here at the Seekers of Paradise seek a very particular kind of paradise that our people call the no-smoking zone. You see, we believe that smoking poisons our culture and our bodies, and we hope to seek a paradise free from the evils of smoke. It's unhealthy.
Okay, I don't need a cigarette. I'm good.
That's very good to hear because, right. You know.
But you said that we're of two minds. Are you also gonna, you know?
Not sure what I said back there.
I think
Charles
Hoffman was saying that, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, So, about that tarragon.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure it grows up there. Everyone says that, right?
How do we get there, Charles Hoffman?
Oh, well, that's the best part.
You seem like a guy that knows, because everyone else has given us the real dick around.
Yeah, man. We've been searching it. You see, it goes around in the sky all over the place. It's hard to chart its position, but we've uncovered a relic that we think could lead us to paradise.
What is that?
We don't understand it. It's a stone tablet with strange markings, and we just can't decipher it.
Maybe Sharpie, you read strange markings, don't you?
Absolutely. I did a semester at sea.
So,
Can you show us this tablet? You never know with us tall folk. Up here higher than you guys, we get exposed to different languages.
That's what I was hoping would happen. Because, you see, I have this stone tablet here, and I will present it to you. If you could solve the riddle therein.
It looks like a Simon from the 80s.
I don't know. What are you talking about? What are the 80s?
Huh?
I think the listener needs to know that Spencer's holding up his iPad and on it is...
It's great for the 100th episode of a podcast. Can you solve it? You guys seem so familiar with
it. I reach over and I touch the red part of the Simon-looking thing.
The tablet cracks into 100 pieces.
What the fuck? I thought it was a Simon.
Yeah,
and in its space, you see a magical rippling portal that threatens. It doesn't even threaten. It begins consuming everything
what
in the room.
What the shit? It just looks like a game.
If only we had been here when the game started. Yeah. It's like, you just hit a random one. Yeah, 25% chance.
Yeah. So
you feel yourselves being compelled into this portal to who knows where.
God, better be paradise. Mm.
It's terrifying. Okay. It hurts, in fact. You feel pain.
We wait to see what happens next.
All right.
I throw my rope around.
Gross.
I throw my rope around a sconce.
Okay.
And tie the rope. I have the rope around my waist, and I throw it to Sharpie and Quirk. Uh-huh. So as to anchor ourselves.
You throw the rope, and one of you has to catch it. Which one of you wants to catch it, I guess?
Can we both?
You could both try, I guess. But you don't throw a rope at two people. That's weird.
Right.
Well, yeah, I do, because I loop two loops. It's called a Mickey Mouse throw.
Okay. Well, that doesn't work.
Fair enough.
Wasn't there a sconce?
Yeah, that worked.
Oh, okay.
And Aaron is holding on. I mean, Mulrain's holding on to this rope. But the rest of you guys...
Let's be honest, it's been me the whole time.
But the rest of you guys take some damage as you guys feel yourself pulling into this portal. Quirk, you take 2, and what's your name? Sharpie, you take 8 damage.
Jesus Christ, I didn't know the goal was to get out of the portal. It seemed very transitional.
Yeah, well, it was very suctiony and damagey.
Am I still getting sucked?
Yeah. You get sucked through the portal as Mulrain watches on, tied to a sconce.
100 episodes!
No one bought that.
I wasn't trying to end the show or
anything. Yeah, no, that was too thin.
I just wanted to lace
it. Yeah. We're building to what I can only call a great 100 episode ending.
All right,
in the next
so
couple
you guys
minutes.
Get sucked through this portal then, right?
Yeah.
All right. The sound's up so high on this thing. There's ads from the Simon game.
It was a Simon game.
Yeah, I know.
I just hit the wrong goddamn thing?
Yeah.
Well, you should have pressed start.
Yeah. You don't start with a color. That's crazy.
If the game's already on, you hit
No, the whole game is to Simon, whatever is happening. Nothing had happened yet. You had to press start.
Oh. Well, look, the die is cast, motherfuckers.
Flying through the portal like one would fly through a portal. You get...
Like Mario and Luigi in Mario and Luigi
Searching
Dream
for a magic
Team.
Hamburger. Oh.
Thank you so much for calling that up. I wanted to say
when Mario and Luigi searching for a magic hamburger.
that would be so ridiculous in the Mario Luigi universe.
I just want that to be a level. All right. So we're fast being sucked into the hideous vortex.
Yeah, and you're sucked through, and now you find yourselves in a magical pasture. You see colors brighter than any colors you've seen before, and colorful flowers and happy little trees and bushes dot the pasture. Looks like a comfortable place. Other than standing in the middle, imposingly, is a 12-foot-tall angel with dazzling wings and bronzed skin. He holds a flaming shovel and stands guarding your path.
Wait, and I'm still tied to a light.
Yeah, you're seeing this happen through the portal, but you're like, yeah.
Cool, thank you.
And the gnomes are getting sucked through, too. Some of them are dying.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So I was just supposed to, if I hit start instead of the red button, this would have saved a lot of my kids.
You guys feel gnome giblets on your back.
Oh, Jesus Christ. God damn it. I feel really bad about that.
Well, I mean, they handed it to you.
I know, I love games.
They had never touched it ever, and then they just handed it to us?
Well, it was the first color I saw.
Here's what I think they did. I think they false started you. I think they hit a couple buttons and...
Yeah, because if the game hadn't started and I just hit red, it wouldn't do anything. Like, the game was already going.
Well, no, I mean, look, in order for you hitting a button to make the game be over...
I agree.
That means the game had started.
Right. It's a setup, is what you're saying.
It was It was not your fault, and I just like.
Hey, 12-foot angel shovel man, what's your name?
Sup, dudes. Yo, my name's Yomiji.
Oh no.
Yomiji.
Yep.
What's for sale over in your part of the woods?
Nothing for sale, man. I just guard the herb.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You don't speak of the tarragon of virtue by any chance.
Oh, we probably got that.
Oh yeah? Could we just have a slice of that action?
Nah, man. I don't know how worthy you fools are.
You don't happen to have a game of Simon on you, do you? Yeah.
No, what's that?
That's a long story.
It sounds fun.
Yeah.
It's just a game for fools, as you just call it.
Sharpie, he was just making conversation. Don't fucking, he might be a friend.
Weird way to start a conversation.
See? We're not going to do this. Yomiji, we are friends. We come here in peace. We would love. What's your price for a little for some access into the garden?
Hey, man, you want to get access to the garden? That's cool. We just you could sample. You could sample whatever you want. Just tell me you're worthy.
I'm worthy.
No, I mean, tell me you're worthy with the best joke in the universe.
All right. A kid's an 8-year-old kid's walking down the street, and he finds a welder's mask. And he puts the welder's mask on. He's playing with it. He's flipping it up and down. The car pulls up. Older gentleman's in the car. Guy rolls down the window and says, "Hey, kid." And the kid flips up the welder's mask and looks at the guy and says, "Yeah." And the guy says, "You want a ride?" The kid says, "All right." And he gets in the car, and the guy's driving down the road, and the kid's playing with the welder's mask, flipping it up and down. And the guy says, "Hey, kid, do you know what sodomy is?" And the kid flips the welder's mask up and looks at the guy and says, "No, I don't." And the guy's driving along, and he says, "Hey, kid, do you know what fellatio is?" And the kid flips the mask up and goes, I don't know." And the guy stops the car and says, "Kid, do you know what a pedophile is?" And the kid flips the mask up and says, "Look, mister, I got to be honest with you. I'm not really a welder."
Yomiji, he starts laughing. He drops his shovel. And he's rolling on the floor laughing. He's like, "That's a good joke, man. That's
a good joke.
That's great."
Yeah, because how do you write that backwards? It's a great punchline.
All right, what? So there's this duck with AIDS.
Sharpie, no! Thank you, everybody. That's Harmontown, a 100th episode extravaganza. Let's thank Adam Goldberg one more time, shall we? And MC.
What an incredible 100th episode.
Did MC win anything?
Yeah.
Can we give MC something of some sort? We'll think of something for you, MC. Spencer Crittenden, Aaron McGathy, I'm Jeff Davis. Thank you once again to everybody here at Meltdown Comics. One more time for the mayor, Dan Harmon.
Thanks for coming. 100 episodes. You don't have to applaud again. I was just singing a song. Good night, all.